Good morning. Welcome to the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. It's good to see everyone here this morning. For our visitors here this morning, my name is Mark Bundy, and I'm one of the shepherds here at Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. In my previous careers, I've been a carpenter, a hydroblaster, a life support technician, or a reactor mechanic, a diesel mechanic, a farmer, a mariculturist, a biomedical engineer, and an inventor with three patents for transluminal lysing systems. Currently, I'm a mechanical manufacturing engineer working at the Intralox plant in Hammond, Louisiana, for the Latrim Group of Companies. We currently have more people than robots working at the plant, but the robots are catching up fast. We did have one robot beat up an employee last year, but that was because the employee failed to turn the robot off before adjusting his arm. I highly recommend not arguing with a robot within his field of reach. When I first went to work for Intralox, I felt like I was George Jetson working at Spacely Sprockets, because the first 2 years, all I worked on was sprocket projects, redesigning sprockets, redesigning molds for sprockets. If you never heard of George Jetson, ask your grandparents who that is. Today's version of this lesson is the third revision. 20 years ago, I preached it at Carrollton Avenue Church of Christ when the preacher was on vacation. I preached it again here at Tammany Oaks in March of 2012. So how many of you were here in March in 2012 and heard the golf sermon? Good. See if I got better. It has since been come to be known as my golf sermon, and you'll understand why a little later. It's also an NFL-approved sermon, because I'm guaranteed to get you out of here before noon. Today's lesson may not be as good as Brother Norman's lesson on fixing broken pottery, but it is worth a rerun. This morning in our Sunday school class, one of Brother Andy's stories about his first sermon reminded me of when I preached a sermon at Amite Church of Christ. You know where Amite? Right up the road here. I preached a sermon on weights and measures in the Bible. Sister Johann Barbare's grandmother, Sister Henry, you know how after church you stand in the back and you greet everybody that's going out? Well, Sister Henry told me like it was. She said, she told me to keep practicing, I'll eventually get better. What I want to talk about today is our Christian impact, or how our examples of Christian living impact those in the world around us. What is impact? In physics terms, impact is the effect that one body has upon another. When two objects collide in an elastic collision, momentum is conserved. When two objects collide in an inelastic collision, some of the impact energy is lost, usually due to the work done in deforming one or both of the objects. Webster has some other definitions for impact. The force of impression of one thing upon another, an impelling or compelling force. Since I know we have a lot of golfers out there, I wanted to use a golf analogy. You ladies may get a little bored with this, but it's similar to tennis or badminton or even ping pong from the physics perspective. I'm not a golfer. I worked as a mechanic on a golf course when I was in high school, and it seemed to me that golf was invented only to ruin a nice walk in the park. I'd rather be fishing. But there are a lot of variables in the game of golf, and the first is the choice of club. You know, every time they go to hit the ball, they get to choose a club. All the clubs have different shaft lengths, stiffnesses, weights, groove patterns, lie angles, and different loft angles. The loft angle is pretty important. It's measured from the true vertical, so it's how much the club leans back, It's the angle between the vertical and the club face, and it affects how much of the impact is directed horizontally or vertically. The higher the loft angle, the higher the arc of the trajectory of the golf ball. Loft angles vary from zero for a putter to 64 degrees for an ultra-lob wedge. Now, from my ballistics training, the 45-degree launch angle usually maximizes the distance for a fixed amount of energy of a projectile. But the golf ball is not a projectile in that sense. It's a when you put backspin on a golf ball, it becomes a dynamic airfoil. So the golf ball flies and generates its own lift. And studies show that for a golf ball, the optimum launch angle is 16 degrees to get the maximum amount of distance. And since the golf ball is not struck at the bottom dead center of the stroke, there's an adjustment. So you got to have a club with an 8 to 11 degree loft angle to achieve the 16 degree launch angle to maximize your strike and distance. Now, when the golf club strikes the ball, both the club and the golf ball deform, so the impact is inelastic. So some of the energy of the impact is lost in the flexure of the club and the deformation of the ball. But since the USGA limits the amount of deformation of both the club and the golf ball by its rules, the golfer has a limited number of options for improving the impact, even if he has all the latest and greatest approved hardware. When you look at the conservation of momentum equation, you find that the kinetic energy of a club right before it strikes the ball is 1/2 mv squared, where m is the mass of the club and v is the velocity of the club head. Since 1/2 is a constant and mass is constant with respect to any given club, the only thing a golfer can do to put more energy into the impact is to swing the club faster. Since velocity is a square term in that equation, doubling the velocity would import 4 times as much energy to the ball. But average golfers achieve club head velocities of anywhere from 80 to 94 miles an hour. Now, although you golfers know that you are in complete control of where and how far the ball is going to go, the only time that you have any effect on the ball is when the club head comes in contact with the ball, which is not very long. It's about 500 microseconds, or 1/2000th of a second, or about 0.5 millisecond. In tennis, due to the deformation of both the ball and the racket, the impact duration is a little longer, about 10 times longer, maybe 5 milliseconds to 1/200th of a second. But backspin and aerodynamics also affect the travel of the golf ball or tennis balls, but that gets more complicated. Once the club or racket strikes the ball, its trajectory is determined. There's nothing else you can do. As soon as it makes contact, it's gone, and it's on the trajectory it's going to take based on the impact that occurred. So until it'll keep going until it comes in contact with something else, like a tree or a body of water or a sand trap or maybe even the green. Once the club, in the same way that the short duration of contact with the golf ball, of the golf club with the golf ball determines its future trajectory, our contact with people in the world may determine the future trajectory of their lives. What happens when you make an air shot? Nothing. You miss the ball. Nothing happens. It goes nowhere. What happens when we don't make contact with people in the world? Absolutely nothing. We have no effect on people in the world unless we come in contact with them. And we won't have any effect on their spiritual trajectory. And as we all know, many people in the world are not on the right trajectory. Jesus says there is only one trajectory, and it is Him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. How do we affect the people? How do we impact the people we encounter every day? Do we smile at everyone we meet? Do the people at work know it or not if we got up on the wrong side of the bed? Do you get upset with the cashier at the grocery store when they ring up something wrong or they say, I don't take these coupons? Do we get upset when other drivers don't act the way we think they should? Are we really living in a way that differentiates us from anyone else in the world? Can people really see in our lives the joy and peace that we have in a personal relationship with Jesus? Paul said in his letter to the Philippian church in Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Does our life glorify God in everything that we do? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I think this lesson fits in very well with our theme of this year, ready. Are we ready to grab every opportunity to have a positive Christian impact on the people we work with or come in contact with in the community? Are we ready to give a ready answer for why we have faith in Christ Jesus? I believe 1 Peter 3:15 is our memory verse for this year's theme. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, if we know we have to be in contact with people to affect their spiritual trajectory, how do we go about improving our contact ratio? Play more golf with people who need spiritual and trajectory adjustments. Take more people fishing to catch more fish and have more fish fries. Have more craft meets, cooking, sewing, quilting bees. Make cakes, food for the neighbors. Introduce our neighbors to our Christian family. Invite our neighbors to our home, fellowships, and Bible studies. Help your neighbor solve a problem. Mentor a teenager. Help them do something they already want to do. Have spiritual conversations with the people we meet in our travels. I am sure you can think of ways to use your special gifts to generate greater contact with people in the world. And speaking of neighbors, we had a great adult Sunday school study led by Brother Andy Maudley on the parable of the Good Samaritan, which would have been titled, "Who's Your Neighbor, Darling?" if it was in the Big Easy Bible. Can our contact with people be casual, or do we have to develop personal relationships? It can be a real challenge to develop personal relationships with people whose current values and mores don't agree with our own, or that we don't agree with. That has always been a difficult lesson for me, but it is pretty clear that Jesus came to save the sinner and the lost. Luke 5:30-32 says, "And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So how do we put more energy on our swing? How do we get better at this spiritual contact sport? 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." When I accepted the Lord as a child and was baptized, I know that my motivation was probably more fear than love. But I comfort myself with the fact that Proverbs 1:7 says, the Bible does say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the Holy Spirit has been at work in me, and over time I have been transformed and continue to be transformed. I know this transformation is not yet complete, because sometimes I still say and do things that I regret. Sometimes because I think of how those things may have had a negative impact on somebody's spiritual trajectory. We all know that once those words come out of the mouth, they can never be put back. Unfortunately, life does not have an undo button like software. We may get a second chance for a more positive impact in the future, but the best we can do now is commit daily to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us to make us better Christians. Therefore, there's always an opportunity in each of us, each of our lives, to polish that mirror and improve the way our example of a Christ-like life impacts on those people in the world around us. So how do we go about polishing our mirror? Bible study, prayer, spiritual introspection, mutual encouragement, all ways to polish our mirror. In the same way that the golf club impacts a ball, if we do not read and study our Bibles, the words will have no effect on us. There is no impact without contact. It's very important that we are here this morning. People are watching us. One of the ways we proclaim Jesus to the world is the fact that we meet together to worship and encourage one another in the work here every Sunday morning. People need to know and see that there are things in our lives that are so important and serious to us that we will not compromise them for work or play. Don't get me wrong here. I was a farmer, and I spent many a Sunday morning helping the neighbors get their green and yellow or their red and white mule out of the proverbial ditch. But believe me, the neighbors knew where I wanted to be and where I was going when we finished. We all know that we can have a greater impact for Jesus in the world without becoming of the world. Let's just all consider this week what active steps we can take to improve our capabilities or help others so that we can have a greater Christian impact on the world. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. As a shepherd of this flock, I have to commend you on the way that each and every one of you use your special gifts to reach out to your brothers and sisters here and in the community. We can reach more people in the community if we put our heads together and increase our impact. So remember, there is no impact without contact. Even the people that we don't relate well with, if we get them here, there's probably somebody here that can relate to them. I think Paul said it very well when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, he became as without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." If there's anyone today who that recognizes spiritual need in their own life or would like to place a spiritual or physical concern before the congregation, you can come forward or you can seek out one of the shepherds here as we sing the invitation song. Thank you.